One of the things that the Holy Spirit is teaching us, guiding us into, is how to live in the Spirit and allow from our spirit the life of God's Spirit flowing into our inner man and the outworking of that. And so this is continually what the Holy Spirit is speaking about. And that's why, I don't know if you've prayed the prayer where we've asked God to take us into the reality of His Son's reconciling work, the Father reconciling the world back to Himself through His Son Jesus. And have you asked the Father to take you in? But from being in the Spirit and entering into the reality of what was taking place in the Spirit realm and understanding and things like that, it's a very powerful place to be when we start to pray, for instance, for fathers. And today everybody is celebrating Father's Day. But it's another thing when you enter into the heart of Jesus and how He took the fathers from Adam right through to the last fathers ever going to be living into His heart and brought the fathers to His Father and experiencing that. I don't know if you've experienced when you've taken yourself, you've taken the fathers of a nation into your heart and carry that. You need the Holy Spirit's help because you can't bear that. It's too powerful. But I'm speaking about ministering in the Spirit. I'm speaking about understanding how to operate in the Spirit realm, taking the fathers of a nation into your heart because it's in your spirit, and bringing them in Jesus and bringing them to the throne of God and interceding for the fathers. We need the Holy Spirit empowering us to do these things. And this is what God is helping us to press in so that we don't live in the soul dimension. We don't live in our feelings and our emotions. We live in the reality of the Spirit of God, our new life, our new creation, man. And so as we're celebrating our Heavenly Father, there's a lot that the Holy Spirit is going to help us to really begin to understand more and more how to live from our spirit into the inner man and then into the actions. And that's the journey that we have been on for a while. So for instance, when we started to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we see the love of Christ compels us, that's the spirit realm. It's not a human love, it's the Holy Spirit and us living in the reality of allowing and identifying how we serve God in our spirit and experiencing the energy, the power, experiencing that love of the Holy Spirit within us. So when we carry on and we read there that we don't no longer look at anyone from a worldly point of view as we did with Jesus, that He's speaking about how we see in the spirit, how we operate in the spirit, how we live from the spirit. So when He starts to speak about in Christ Jesus, the old is gone, the new has come, that new is your born again spirit. We don't yet have the new body. We don't yet, you and I know, our emotions and that they're still very real and that, but we want to live from our spirit so that the life of our spirit starts to touch our emotions, starts to touch the way we think, and the life of God's spirit operating in our inner man brings about that incredible transformation that takes place. And so today we want to also pray at the end for much healing, because when we speak about fathers, and you know, I think you can probably with your friends you've heard the saying where many would say, I don't have a father, I just have a sperm donor, because that's just got my mother pregnant or something like that, and I don't know my father, just a sperm donor. See, Christ took that man in His heart when He went to the cross for that man to be saved and reconciled. And this is why when you start to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, when you start to pray in the Spirit, what takes place? You start to enter into the incredible ministry of God reconciling the world back to Himself through in His Son Jesus Christ. and you start to participate sometimes, as Paul writes over there, also participate in the sufferings of Christ that you may share in the glory as well. This is part of living in the Spirit. And this might be a bit foreign, but it's because we're so used to living from our soul dimension and not being in the Spirit and living from our Spirit. And so for many, they're battling to get healing in the area of fatherhood. For many, and you here and you know, for many mothers, they are angry towards the father of the child because they've abandoned them. There's many children that are angry with their fathers because they've not been a father to them and all the things that take place. And all of that is very real. And Jesus took all of that upon himself and he presented all of us to the Father. And he has made a way for us to be reconciled. That's why when you pray, you'll find there that it's the most incredible ministry as you intercede for people in the spirit realm and you take them to the Father, you take them into your heart and you bring them to the Father in his Son, because knowing the agony, I don't know if you ever started to experience the Garden of Gethsemane. This is a happy Father's Day, where you experience Gethsemane, where the agony of Jesus. I don't know if you've experienced interceding, that you take the fathers of a nation into your heart and you go into the Gethsemane with Christ and experience how he took upon all the sinfulness of fathers upon himself. See, that's why there's healing in Christ Jesus. What he has done to bring about reconciliation. And so if we live from the Spirit, there's a healing that, and then we don't battle. And so much of our issues is because we are not living from the spirit realm. We are living from the soul dimension. And there's no life there. See, and that's why he's helping us to live and teaching us how to live from being in the spirit realm, serving God from our newborn created spirit, full of his life, and then start to find the healing, the life, and all that there. So Paul prays a powerful prayer, and he says, he's praying to believers, and he asks the Father for the incredible breakthrough that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Christ may come and dwell in their hearts. Because their spirit is born again, but their hearts still need to be filled with the love of Christ Jesus so that they can grow up and live. And so that's what God is busy doing. So, and that's all part of the message of reconciliation. So when we look at, for instance, the Apostle John, if you go through the book of the Gospel of John, you go through the letters there, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, one of the major themes that John is communicating is the theme of how Jesus came to reveal the Father. And we see that time and time again. It's such an insight to who the Father is as Jesus makes the Father known. And that's why you'll see all the time Jesus would say that, I'm the way to the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All the time we see the Gospel of John is such a revelation of the heart of Jesus in making the Father known. So at the end when he says, this is Jesus in John 17, this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. And so there's such an emphasis of understanding God the Father as we go through the Gospel of John. We read there in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And we're going to look a little bit at this word glory as well, because of scripture we're going to be looking in Romans chapter 6 now. But yeah, we see that this incredible word glory is the full manifestation of the incredible perfection of God being made known. And here Jesus is the total sum of the Father's incredible perfection and splendor and glory being revealed to mankind. That's our Lord Jesus. So that's why if you start to see in the spirit, you start to ask God to help you not to just live from the natural there, but Lord, begin to show me, help me to, from my spirit, help me to understand the glory of God. And it starts to do something that we will see now, the results of what the Holy Spirit is sharing with us today. So we are in an amazing place right now. And if we go to, first of all, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Oh no, let's go to Romans 1 first. And let me just read Romans 1 and verse 9. Here, Paul says here in verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Now look at verse 9. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in the Greek, God who I serve with my spirit in preaching the gospel. That's fascinating. Paul is saying, I serve God in my spirit. I serve him with my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of your son, of the son Jesus Christ. And this is why what the Holy Spirit is helping us to understand. How do we serve God with our spirit? It changes everything. Paul would say in other places, you live by the spirit, therefore keep in step with the spirit. Put to death the misdeeds of the sinful nature by the Spirit. If you keep in step with the Spirit and then you see the fruit of the Spirit. So how do we start to understand? How do we start to get a foundation of what took place when we get fathered by God? And that's why the concept of fatherhood in the Bible is so profound, because it speaks about the one who imparts life and is then committed to that life. That's profound. So we know our Heavenly Father in one way or the other imparted life to us, and He is totally committed to us. The fatherhood of God. And so the Holy Spirit is sharing something profound over here concerning the spirit realm, concerning you and I who got born again. We know in John chapter 3, when Jesus is speaking and he speaks to the people and he says to Nicodemus, he says, you need to be born again. And then Nicodemus asked, but how can I be born again? I'm old. And that's when Jesus really starts to share some deep insights there for you and I to understand. You need to be born from above. You need to be born again by my Heavenly Father. You need to be fathered by God Himself. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Flesh to flesh. And so we see there that the moment you and I, when that time came when God became real and we simply knew that He was real and we accepted this truth, at that very moment, the Father fathered you and I. He imparted His life by the Holy Spirit. So we received God's life within us, in our spirit man, not in our body. This body is still going to die. But your spirit, our spirit got born again. Our spirit received the life of the Holy Spirit. Spirit gives birth to spirit. And this is why from that very moment we get born again, and this is areas that many of us in church leadership have failed, because we've never discipled people on how to live from the spirit. They get born again by the spirit, but we haven't discipled them on how to stay and how to walk and how to live in the reality of being born again in the Spirit. How do you live from your new born again spirit, the new creation in Christ Jesus? How do we live from that? And as a result, we tend to go back into the emotions. We get back into all kinds of things and we battle and we battle and we battle. And we haven't yet learned how to live from the spirit realm as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus teaches much about that. He says here that my words that I speak to you are spirit and life. Profound. So when you and I heard the gospel and we heard those words, the Father released His life into us. It was life-giving and life-producing. Fatherhood. Life-giving and life-producing. Fatherhood. And so we have a Heavenly Father that is totally committed to us. We sang that song now about holy God. Imagine if our Heavenly Father was not holy. Imagine Him in His anger, sinning in His anger. But because He's holy, He may be angry, but He's not going to sin in His anger. Imagine in His way of dealing with you and I, as He disciplines those He loves because we're His children. Imagine if He was not holy. Imagine how He would discipline us. Imagine the hidden motives and all the stuff that we as fathers and mothers experience when we are angry with our children and we want to discipline them and things like that. But He's pure. We have a Father that is totally committed to our lives and He wants us to surrender to His fatherhood. He wants us to embrace His fatherhood. That's how we live in the Spirit. God is Spirit. And when you start to realize, but Father, you have given me your life. You have fathered me. The Holy Spirit has given life to my spirit. Now I want to learn how to stay and to live in the Spirit. From my spirit that's alive. From my spirit that knows you. From my spirit that has intimacy and oneness with you. From my spirit that understands this love. My spirit that lives in the reality of your holiness. I want to live. I want my soul to begin to receive and to begin to live in that reality. That's why truth, what happens? Renew the mind. As we renew the mind, we are transformed. Because renewing the mind, we're taking hold of the truth of who we are in the spirit realm, renewing our mind, our soul dimension side, and we start to experience the life of the Spirit, the life of the Holy Spirit from our spirit, operating in this brain of ours, in our mind, and our thoughts, and there is the freedom. Truth sets free. So that's part of the freedom journey for you and I. So here Paul writes that I serve God with my spirit in preaching the gospel of His Son. Let's serve God in our spirit. We were chatting the other day. Let's do marriage from being in our spirit. Let's do relationships from living, from being in the spirit, serving God in our spirit. How can there be fights and arguments then? How can there be blaming one another then? If we're living from our spirit, it's born again, the new creation in Christ Jesus. Only from our soul that we blame and we go into all these kind of things. God is showing us, no, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And He's enabling us to know what it means to be fathered by Heavenly Father and to live as His children. What an incredible Father's gift to you and I, being fathered by Him. When we receive the Holy Spirit, it is only by the Holy Spirit that we begin to understand sonship. That Romans 8. Let me read that Romans 8 quickly. In this Romans 8 we read, but to understand Romans 8, let's first go to Romans 6. Because in Romans 6 we see the whole reality of the grace of God and the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life. And Paul is writing about this incredible insight. And he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in sin any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Let's just stop there. Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Fascinating. The glory of God raised his Son from the dead. Have you thought of that? And we too have been raised. The glory of our Father has raised us in his Son from the dead. The glory of our Father has given us life in his Son, that we have eternal life. So we see there that the death and the resurrection of Jesus, but you look from away from the soul dimension of just the knowledge of the death of Jesus, and from your spirit, you go and you start to see the glory of the Father in the Son being crucified. You're starting to see the full splendor of our Heavenly Father being displayed in and through his Son Jesus Christ, who was the glory of the Father. This is not just natural. We're learning how to live in the Spirit. We're learning how to see in the Spirit. We're learning how to understand in the Spirit what has actually taken place, who we are in Christ Jesus. And as we learn to see that the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we see the incredible, the full splendor, the full perfection of the quality of the attributes of God being displayed in the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, declaring and shouting out the incredible full splendor of God being displayed for mankind. Oh, ask the Holy Spirit to open up and take us into seeing the splendor of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of hope when we start to see these things from the spirit realm. I'm not saying you're going to go see, you know, sometimes, often you do that there, but you're taking the spiritual truth and you're starting to renew your mind to spiritual truth, and you're starting to ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding from the spiritual perspective, and you'll understand many, many things about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No longer just knowledge. He's taking us into the power. He's taking us into the splendor of God Almighty in raising up his Son, and you and I in him being raised up from the dead, that we too, what does it say here? That we too may live a new life. Because we've been fathered by him. He's imparted his life into us. His life he's imparted into us by giving us birth by the Holy Spirit, that we too may now live a new life. Keep in step in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. No longer in the flesh. What a gift our Father has given to us. If we, as we start to take hold of this and receive this, what a place of freedom and getting out of the struggling in our soul dimension, in our mind, in the battle of the mind and all the conflict that takes place in this mind. What a joy when we are taking hold of what it is to be in the Spirit, that we can begin to have the mind of Christ in these things. What freedom there is. What life is released into our soul dimension as we simply begin to live what it is to be born again. I'm just sharing what actually it is to be born again. That's all I'm doing this morning. Fathered by our Heavenly Father. Because sometimes we have forgotten the reality of what took place, the miracle of being born again, and how our spirit has come alive, and how we can start living from our new created living spirit, full of the Holy Spirit's life in us. A little bit different. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Our Father longs for us to live not as an orphan, but as a son, as a daughter of his, no longer orphans. And so we carry on and we read over here, in order for we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified, that's the old Adam man that we used to be with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So now we see the reality of how sin brings about the slavery. God gives birth to you and I. We're starting to understand something now that we look at Romans 8. Now, if we died with Christ, this is a spiritual realm. We believe that we will also live with him. That's profound. We will live with him. Jesus says, when I go, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you the Holy Spirit, and I and the Father will come and make our dwelling in you. So this new resurrected life, this life of being born again by the Holy Spirit and re-receiving the Holy Spirit, now we have the powerful reality, what Jesus is speaking about over here, that if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. That's why we can understand we've been raised with him, seated with him. Now that we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death has no longer mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. Now in the same way, now we go back into the spirit realm, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, getting into agreement with spiritual truth that's full of life, life-producing fruit. Here we are getting an agreement, we're renewing our mind, we're learning how to live in the spirit because we've accepted spiritual truth. But alive to God in Christ Jesus, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God, to those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master because you're not under law, but under grace. And then he carries on. And he speaks about the reality of the slavery. What shall we say? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as a slave, you are a slave to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to our Heavenly Father. Praise God. That though we used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching. We received truth, life-producing truth, to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have now become a slave to righteousness. And we carry on over there. Now when Paul comes to Romans chapter 8 about sonship, he then says over here, remember, being slaves to sin, being slave to the power of sin. In Christ, we're no longer a slave to the power of sin. That's been broken. Now we can now be slaves to righteousness. What happens as we are now slaves to righteousness and no longer slaves to sin? Paul then describes it over here. He says over here, you, however, or let's go, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, us now who have been fathered by God, this is who we are in the Spirit. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature. We're no longer slaves to the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. We're now living in the Spirit. We're serving God with our Spirit. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Because, as we looked at last time, we received the gift of righteousness. God gave us his righteousness as a gift. Our spirit is alive. That's a spiritual truth. This is why for us to understand the reality of receiving the gift of righteousness as a gift from God, his perfection, his incredible holy perfection, we have been given it as a gift. And as a gift, our spirit has come alive. We have received God's spirit because of that gift of righteousness. It's a free thing. It's that's the grace of God. Okay, now we're learning how to, first of all, accept the gift. Starting point on how to live in the Spirit. That gift of righteousness, what takes place over there? Grace reigns through that gift of righteousness. And it's this grace that Paul is speaking about here that is enabling us now to no longer be a slave to sin. Because now we're participating in the very life, the resurrection life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit. This, our spirit knows this. We've got to renew our mind and accept the spiritual truth that's full of life and power so that we start to experience it in our soul dimension and in our behavior. Life in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. All of that is what we're sharing over here. And then he carries on. Therefore, brothers, we have no obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. No. For if we live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, how often are we trying to put to death the bad habits by our own ability, our own willpower, by our own... What a waste of time. Why don't we learn the truth of putting to death these habits that we don't like by the power of the Spirit, from living from our spirit man, putting to death all these things? How many of us as Christians, not enough here, but how many of your friends are out there as believers are hating themselves because they're addicted, they've got all this kind of stuff, they feel all guilty and condemned because of all this stuff over there. And they're believers, simply because they do not know how to live in the Spirit and how to put to death these things by the Spirit. Victory. Freedom. And we waste our time counseling people to try and put this stuff to death by the natural abilities. We've got to teach them how to put to death it by the Spirit of God. Because it's by the Spirit of God that the incredible power of sin is broken. It's by the Spirit of God that we are able to experience the grace that reigns through the gift of righteousness. Our Father has fathered us with His life. And He's committed to us. And His Spirit will teach and guide us. We need to obey. We need to hear. We need to follow His guidance. He's a good, good Father. He knows how to instruct us. He knows how to father us with His truth. We need to begin to listen to what our Father is saying and apply what our Father is saying so that we live in the reality of what it means to be loved and fathered by our Heavenly Father. What a different life. And He's inviting us and He's helping us to begin to grow in this more than we've ever known before. But He carries on there. Therefore, put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Sorry, according to this, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. Powerful, because we have been given life. And as we follow these instructions, we learn how to live in this abundant life that we have received, this eternal life, this God quality life. We start to learn how to live in the reality, not in the knowledge, but in the life, in the reality of this incredible life that we have in Christ Jesus. Because you who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may too share in His glory. So this is why it's so crucial that as you and I have got born again by the Holy Spirit, it's by the Spirit that now begins to share with us, Abba Father. And it's only as we live in the Spirit are we really beginning to understand fatherhood. And we start to learn how to live in the reality of being fathered by our Father. This has taken many years to actually just click and get to. Is it so simple? I've struggled all my life. Is it so simple? And that's why God is helping all of us to get away from so much that we've learnt about self-improvement, so much that we've learnt about all the different methods and rules and regulations on how to have a relationship with God, and simply getting back to the fact that our Father imparted life to us by the Holy Spirit. And as a result of us receiving this life by faith, we were given His righteousness. And now as we continue walking in the reality of this life in the Spirit, His grace reigns through us, in us, enabling us to be transformed and to be able to live. So, as I close, back to Romans chapter 6, where we see the reality here of this incredible glory of God, where we see that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory, or some translations, by the glory of the Father, we too, so that we too may live a new life. What takes place when you and I behold the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? What takes place when you and I, by the Spirit, begin to see the incredible splendor, the full, total sum of God's nature, character, who He is, being displayed in His Son, Jesus Christ? What takes place when you and I begin to understand that the Son is the exact image of His Father? What takes place with you and I when we begin to see His glory? What takes place with you and I when we begin to understand that it was the Father's glory that has raised us also from the dead and has given us new life in His Son, Jesus Christ? What takes place when we start to operate and live from the Spirit? Very well-known portion as I close with 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's have a brief look at this incredible reality of what actually takes place. And he's speaking about the ministry of the Spirit, this glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he carries on and he says over there that when, remember, law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus, John 1:14. And here we see there that he's speaking about law. When the law was read, the veil was over the hearts of men and women. It was a veil, because their spirit was not yet born again by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now what happens when we get born again by the Holy Spirit? When we believe in Christ Jesus. And he says over here, whenever that the law is read, that there's a veil, etc., the veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Father has put His life into us by the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We only live in freedom as we live in the Spirit. We only live in freedom when we serve God from our spirit. We only live in freedom when we understand how to live with our spirit. Born again spirit. There's no other freedom outside of that. This is why many believers are not in freedom. And this is why you and I, we are learning day after day another degree of freedom. Because we're just simply beginning to believe the reality of who we are in the Spirit. And beginning to understand how to live in the Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So when we yield it to the Holy Spirit, He is Lord. We are obeying Him because it's the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God. We who have We who with unveiled faces all behold, all reflect the Lord's glory, the Lord's total sum of perfection, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And as you and I are learning now how to live in the Spirit, as we take hold of the truth, I've been born again. The Father, you have fathered me. Thank you. Our Father which art in heaven. Father, you have fathered me. You have given me your incredible life. That's why I have eternal life. And your Holy Spirit has come into me. Your Holy Spirit has touched my spirit that was dead, was separated from you. Your Holy Spirit has come into me. Now, simply because not of my righteousness, but because of what your Son Jesus and because of His righteousness, it's the only reason why your Spirit can come and dwell in me, because now I'm in Him. And because I'm in Christ, I'm able to receive your Holy Spirit. And your Holy Spirit now empowers me. And as I behold you, Lord Jesus, and I start to see your glory, I start to see the reality of your attributes, and I'm living from my spirit, and I start to see these things. What's taking place? There's an inner transformation that's taking place, and you and I are being transformed more and more into the likeness, into the very image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace reigning, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus operating within us. Simply because we are living in from our spirit and not from our soul and our mind, not from our body. We are practiced. We've lived a life where our body rules. We've lived a life where our soul, our emotions, our opinions, our intellect rules. But then a day came when God touched our lives. We got born again by the Father, by the Holy Spirit. And that old Adam man that we lived for so many years, that was cut off. That power was cut off. We are now taken out of that bloodline. We're in now Christ's bloodline. And we now receive His life by the Spirit working within us. That brings about the changes in our lives. As we live simply by the Spirit, we see the greatest transformation taking place than we've ever experienced before. Why is this important? Maybe this is a bit premature. The throne of God is established on righteousness and justice. I don't know if you've ever prayed and you seen when you look at the cross, when you look at Christ's death, I don't know if you can see the cross in the throne room of God. I don't know if you can see the reality, because when we're speaking about the throne room of God, the throne of God, we're speaking about God's rule, we're speaking about so many things. I don't know if you can see the cross in the throne room, on the throne of God. You see the cross of Jesus Christ, and you see how the Father's incredible reign through His Son Jesus established on His Son's righteousness and justice. See, that is such an incredible journey, I pray, for all of us to see the power of the cross and seeing how righteousness and justice of the Father was fully met in His Son Jesus Christ for the rule and reign, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, to become real. And as you and I are learning to live by the Spirit, all around us is the demonic realm of darkness, of unrighteousness taking place. We are the body of Christ. And He's helping us to become united in the area of what it is to live in the reality of this gift of righteousness, and how this, from the Spirit, the transformation taking place, So that there comes a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of kings here on earth, the believers, that now begins to advance the righteous kingdom of God, that starts to demolish the structures of the demonic realm. It's important for us to begin establishing what the Father is sharing with us, because He loves the people and He is wanting us to be a place where the enemy doesn't have a foothold. The enemy doesn't have a say, because we are established in the truth of righteousness. We are established in how to live from our spirit, serving God in our spirit. I don't know about you, I'm carrying on, but there's these things. When many, many times I just say, I really don't feel like going to go and see someone, or going to go pray for someone, or go, whatever it may be. And I know that's my flesh and my soul talking. And I quickly have to make an adjustment. I quickly have to capture that very fast. And I've got to say, but Lord, I serve You with my spirit. And the moment I just get into agreement, I serve You in my spirit. Suddenly the power, the energy, the life of the Holy Spirit just floods and gives you the energy. So when Paul says, he speaks about an energy within that keeps him going, this is the energy. This is the life of the Spirit. Just got to renew that mind. Romans 6, likewise consider yourself dead and alive with Christ Jesus. Just renewing the mind, accepting the truth. You start to find the life of the Spirit like we've never experienced before. So, our Father has given us His life as a gift. What a Father. Our Father is committed to us, whether we like it or not. Our Father is not going to abandon us. Our Father is not going to reject us. Our Father is not going to treat us like our earthly fathers do. He's perfect. And our Father once shared with me one day, because my daughter, drugs and all this kind of thing, and I said, but Father, because you know, as a minister, everybody looks at me and, oh, look at your children, look at this, look at that, how can you be a minister, the blah, blah, blah. So I'm saying, Father, You need to help me over here, because I'm meant to be this perfect father in the eyes of a town. And not a reality. And so the Father asked me this question. He said to me, who is the most perfect father that I know? And I said, Father, You. And then He said, look how naughty my children are. You see. But it's not about their naughtiness. It's how I love them back into wholeness. It's how I father them. That's the key. So fathers may feel guilty and all those kind of things. It's not about feeling guilty. Our Father says the same, look at my naughty children, but look how I'm committed to them. And that's the reality. We've given life to our children, and it's that commitment to them for their well-being. That's part of the fatherhood. So Father, today we want to thank You that You are so involved in our lives. We may be naughty children sometimes, but that doesn't allow You. You don't even think about abandoning us. You don't even think about saying, oh, why bother anymore? No, You're fully committed. We want to thank You for the people of our nation. Father, You are the Father of all. But many are not yet in Your family. Many are not yet born again by You. Father, Your Son asked You, when You asked Him, ask of Me for the nations as Your inheritance. And Your Son asked, and You gave Him the inheritance, the nation as Your inheritance. And on that basis, we pray for our nation, South Africa. We pray for the fathers, we pray for the sons, we pray for the mothers, we pray for the daughters. We pray, Father, for the children, we pray, Father, for the people of our nation. Based on the request of Your Son, His blood was paid for the redemption of all of the people of our nation. And today, based on your Son, Father, we come to you as our Father, and again, I ask for the grace as we take fathers first of all into our own heart, and we come before your throne. And this is a time when we are so thankful, Jesus, for how you carried the sin of the fathers from Adam to the very last father, how you took the sin of fatherhood upon yourself, so that we can be forgiven as fathers. Today I want to ask that by your Spirit, Father, that fathers that are feeling guilty, condemned, you will draw them, take them to your Son, and let them experience what your Son has done for them, so that they can receive forgiveness, they can receive you as their Father, and find total freedom, total acceptance, total love. And then we ask, Father, for the Holy Spirit's ministry of reconciliation to flow into homes in this nation of South Africa. Lord, we're celebrating this morning your death. We're celebrating your blood and your body. We're celebrating your resurrection. We're celebrating your ascension. We're celebrating how the Father has glorified you with the glory you had before you came to the earth as a man. We're celebrating the victory. We're celebrating the life of the Holy Spirit. But today we're celebrating your righteousness, Jesus, and how we have received your righteousness so that your grace can reign through this incredible gift of righteousness in us, through us, to touch the lives and for us to be involved in the most incredible ministry of reconciliation and having the message of reconciliation for this nation. So, Father, as your children, we say, Abba, Father, to you. Father, with your Holy Spirit testifying with our spirit that we are your children, I want to ask this morning, as we participate with you, Jesus, sharing in your incredible death and resurrection and the new life that we have, I want to ask, Father, that all of us, and as fathers all over, will be able to truly experience the joy and the freedom of what it is to be raised with your Son, Jesus Christ, and to live a new life. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for helping us this morning. And this we receive and thank you through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.